You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lou Need, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special man to the show, Jonathan Hunt Glassman. Jonathan has been working in healthcare for over 15 years, and he brings his own personal journey of overcoming alcohol addiction to make a meaningful impact for recovery. Now, in this discussion, we will dive into about ways to approach addiction, health and wellness, medication-assisted treatment, and of course, his journey as an entrepreneur, but also his morning routine. So I'm really excited to have him on board. With no further ado, Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's a thrill to have you on. And I love the hero's journey. You have a really good one. And that's how your business came out of it and how you're helping millions of people. So go ahead and tell us about the journey that got you here thus far to even start this business.
As you said, I worked in healthcare my entire career, but in parallel to that, I struggled with a healthcare issue that affects millions of Americans. Yeah. Alcohol misuse has been part of my life since I started drinking. So what began as binge drinking in high school and college became a pattern of drinking to blackout in my 20s. And then when I saw peers start to put that sort of excessive alcohol use behind them in my early 30s, the opposite was happening for me. I was having multi-day binges and starting to experience some of the concerning mental health and physical symptoms of withdrawal from alcohol after those multi-day binges. And over those 15 years or so, it was no secret to me that I had a drinking problem. So I sought help in a lot of the places that first come to mind, Alcoholics Anonymous, individual therapy, primary care, the emergency room sometimes. And pretty much always heard the same thing, which is you need to quit drinking and start going to meetings. And I gave that a shot, but it never really stuck for me. What was much more of a turning point was connecting with a primary care physician who did two things that felt very different to me: accept my goal of moderation rather than abstinence, and suggest prescription medication as a tool in the toolkit to achieve that goal. Those two things at that point in my life were nothing short of transformational. I felt like I could get control back over alcohol rather than vice versa. And as happy as I was with those results personally, it also opened my eyes to the reality that we have a lot of work to do to give everybody who's struggling with alcohol use the full menu of evidence-based options.
Thank you for sharing that story. And a lot of people who struggle with it may not realize it's a problem that needs to be addressed and effectively, right? And that's why you're here. That's why our health is all about, is how do you effectively deal with this issue? And a lot of people will coin themselves as functional alcoholic, right? You can go ahead, have a drink at night, drink two or three drinks, and then get up and go to work and function. But there's really deep inside, there's deep-rooted issues that needs to be addressed due to the drinking. So let's talk about our health. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes, you got it. It's a word, or like not the acronym, although that's okay too.
Yeah, tell us about our health and how it really helps the many that it does in recovery.
Yeah, our health is a way to get private and convenient access to safe and effective medication that's proven to help people drink less or quit. So people can come to the site, ourhealth.com, learn more about alcohol use disorder and get into some of those nuances you were describing, learn about medication-assisted treatment, which is one of the evidence-based options for treating alcohol use disorder. And if it seems like it might be a good fit for them, they can consult with a nurse practitioner or doctor licensed in their state via telehealth, get an individualized treatment plan, get a prescription for medication, if appropriate, in their case, and then get that medication delivered right to their door. So it's a way for people to take a simple, effective step and get started getting better within a few days.
No, that's phenomenal. What are the medication to help with alcohol? You know, we know the patch, nicotine patch, and all that stuff for cigarette, but very rarely do I hear medication to quit drinking.
We have a huge awareness problem. There are, in fact, three medications approved by the FDA for the treatment of alcohol problems. The one that doctors on the OAR platform prescribe most frequently and is the recommended frontline medication is called naltrexone. And the way that it works is it cools off the pleasure and reward pathways that alcohol can activate, thereby making drinking less exciting, less appealing, making it easier to stop after one or two instead of having that runaway train towards way too many. And then over time, as it breaks that feedback loop between drinking and reward, reduce cravings and make it easier to cut back to a healthy level or to cut out alcohol altogether.
And no, avoiding the withdrawal symptoms because you're kind of easing out of it. You're not abruptly pulling the rug from underneath you.
In some cases. So naltrexone is not itself a treatment for alcohol withdrawal, which is what some people who are physically dependent on alcohol may experience if they stop drinking or reduce their quantity dramatically. But it is true that many people are able to drink less or quit the help of medication and not experience withdrawal symptoms. But it is a risk that's important for people to know about if they're making a big change, because alcohol withdrawal can be very uncomfortable, as I experienced, and very dangerous. And so one of the things we do counsel folks on is what those symptoms are, what those symptoms of severe withdrawal are. Because if they do experience it, that's something that's not amenable to treatment via telehealth. That's something where you do need to seek care, often in an emergency department where it can be safely managed.
Yeah. And when you are on OAR Health, there's the prescription aspect of it, but is there the physician aspect where you have working with somebody, because I know it's an education platform as well to learn about the symptoms or the ways of solving it. Do you get partnered with a physician or therapist to kind of go through some of the other things that might pop up?
Yes. So all OAR members have ongoing access to their care team, which includes doctors and nurse practitioners. So if there are questions about side effects or a concern about withdrawal symptoms, how long should I stay on the medication? Do I need to change my dosage? Those are all things people can come back to their care team for. We also do offer mutual peer support, so kind of a members community at folks that's optional to join. But we don't at this time directly provide therapy or other forms of professional behavioral counseling. Care team is happy to make referrals there. There are a lot of things, there are a lot of, you know, effective options on the menu for treating alcohol use disorder. And at this point, we're most focused on increasing access to the medication item on the menu. But that is, of course, very complementary with things like seeing a therapist, a counselor, a coach, going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, going to moderation management meetings, going to smart recovery meetings. And so we're very supportive of people combining medication from OAR with the other evidence-based options that are out there.
Yeah. And that is sound, because that's another way to empower individuals is giving them that option. So medication, like I said, do not hear that quite often. So there's that lack of awareness. So if somebody wants to, how else can you empower individuals to take control?
Yeah. Empower is a great word for it. You know, the situation with AUD is that, you know, we do have a diverse range of effective options. I'd put them in the categories of medication, professional behavioral health counseling, and mutual peer support. The reality is it's hard to predict upfront which of those is going to be the best match for any individual or which combination, because most of them are complementary rather than competitive. So what we try to do is familiarize people with that full menu and then empower them to trust their judgment and instincts on which might be the right fit for them. We don't think there's only one way to recover. So some good questions for people to ask themselves are, what sorts of tools have I used to solve other hard problems? Which of these tools make sense to me? resonate with who I am as a person, fit my values and my goals, and kind of trust their judgment and then be open to learning as they go. Just because you start with medication or start with Alcoholics Anonymous or start with anything else on the menu doesn't mean you're making a lifelong commitment to that as the only tool in your toolkit. I think, you know, one of the most empowering messages we can give people is that you should think of, you know, these tools as part of a toolkit and a toolkit that can evolve over time, adding dimensions, maybe subtracting and matching that to where you are in your recovery journey.
I like that metaphor. I like the way you put it, because my follow-up question was going to be, how is it different from AA? But you're not saying it's either or, it's an addition to it. It's a collaboration between the combining, coining the two to make it work more effective, to make it work for you in the season of your life.
Exactly. We have a lot of OR members who are also AA members, and you're kind of there hitting medication plus support. And if you go back and read kind of the clinical guidelines developed by the medical experts who spent the most time researching alcohol problems and treating patients with it, they'd say best place to start on average, even though none of us is average, best place to start is medication plus some form of psychosocial support. And that could be one-to-one counseling from a professional or a therapist. It could be mutual peer support in the form of AA or other options. And so, you know, we are different than AA in that kind of we're focused on helping people get access to safe, effective, FDA-approved medication. AA is more focused on working the 12 steps and learning from those who've walked the recovery journey ahead of you. But as you say, those are two tastes that go well really together.
Yeah. And you mentioned the support aspect of it, which AA provides. Why is that so important to have that support, that togetherness to overcome such addiction?
For some people, connection is the opposite of addiction. And they will tell you that as you're saying no or less to a substance like alcohol, it's really important to be saying yes to other things, especially things that activate natural, healthy reward pathways, even as you're pressing down on the reward pathway that alcohol was activating. And there's what we know, that connecting with other human beings is one of the best ways to activate a natural, healthy reward pathway, especially people who've experienced elements of your story, your struggles, and have come out the other side of it or are on their way. They can be a source of learning. They can be a source of empathy. They can be a source of inspiration. And saying yes to having all of those things in your life and having that meeting to look forward to, maybe at the time you would otherwise be looking forward to drinking, can be a really, really powerful and therapeutic thing.
Yeah, because we're social being. And so we definitely need that connectiveness. And same thing with, and I like that you say you have to replace the drinking with another euphoric or kind of getting those same behaviors, those same serotonin flowing, and the connectedness in the relationship kind of gives you that, because you can't break a bad habit. You can replace it. And that's precisely what you're alluding to, is being able to replace this drinking, maybe drinking solo, but feeling high, feeling happy, replacing it with that group. And, you know, as social beings, that is necessary, just to know how to replace a bad habit with a more effective one. And also some people can be solo drinkers. You know, after a long day of work, you live alone or you just need a glass and then it turns out to a bottle.
And so totally. That's a story that, you know, we've heard again and again, especially in the last few years, as, you know, the pandemic and huge shifts in terms of how we spent our day, where we were doing work, have maybe left us with some frayed social and professional ties. It's not a surprise that disruption and stress in people's lives has led to some struggles with alcohol. So as people come out of that, it's remarkable how many different places people can find connection. We were talking about and support groups that are specifically focused on drinking less or quitting. Those are terrific. But there are also folks who find that as they drink less, what they're able to say yes to is picking up a hobby that maybe fell onto the back burner, was the center of their life, joining a sports league and connecting with people that way, or a service organization, or getting more involved with their church or place of worship. There are a lot of options.
Yeah.
And I think even those things that, you know, don't have the mission of being recovery organizations can also be therapeutic and be part of the recovery toolkit.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I can see that physical healthness, not just mental, right? Because it's a whole vessel. You got to take care of the whole vessel. And I'm going to get into your morning routine in a little bit. But that plays a key role, taking care of the body, nutrition-wise, getting moving to actually help aid in that toolbox. So metaphor you gave us earlier, the toolkit that you gave us earlier. Share some insights on that.
Yeah, sometimes when we're in this realm of healthcare, we neglect how important the basics of movement can be. And it's something we hear from our members kind of pretty consistently, is that maybe, you know, taking medication to drink less is the first step, because that's kind of the acute problem that they're trying to solve. But often it's the first step in a journey towards better health and well-being, both physical and mental. And they find that when they're deciding what to eat for dinner sober rather than after a few glasses of wine, they're choosing more nourishing foods, and they're achieving better physical health. They may lose a few pounds if that's one of their healthcare goals. They have more time to exercise, and it creates this kind of virtuous circle where the more they're engaging in those healthy behaviors, the better they're feeling, the more motivated. I saw that in my own life. I cannot tell you how many times I tried going to a yoga class, and it just was never for me until I was drinking a lot less. And maybe it's just correlation, but I think there's some causation there, that I was kind of more open to the kind of positive feelings and effects. And now that is part of my, you know, recovery toolkit in my mind. You're not going to see that written down in a treatment manual, send your patient to yoga. but there are a lot of things that can be part of that kind of mind-body wellness journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump right in. How do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
Well, I'll say off the bat, I am not a morning person. So I've had to work hard to find a morning routine that works for me. And just like at OR, we try to keep it kind of practical and achievable. I try to keep my morning routine pretty practical and achievable. And here it is. It's do one good thing for my body and one good thing for my mind.
Nice.
On the body front, that is often as simple as taking a 10-minute walk to get a cup of coffee and exposing myself to the sunlight, which I think has a lot of evidence to suggest that it's helpful in regulating hormones, chemicals in our body, setting our circadian rhythms, to just expose ourselves to sunlight as soon as we can in the morning. And then often while I do that, I want to do something for my mind, which is either the crossword puzzle or listening to a podcast on an interesting topic that has nothing to do with work. I'm pretty introverted, so the last thing I want to do in the morning is really talk to anybody. listening to an interesting conversation with experts that gets me thinking, that gets those neurons firing, I feel like that is an important part of my morning routine too. I think it's a little analogous to, like, you know, if you were to go to the gym and you were going to be lifting weights that day, any trainer would tell you, you got to do some cardio and you got to do some stretching. And that's kind of how I think about my morning routine, is by the time I sit down at my desk, I want to have done something good for the body, something good for the brain.
I love that. And it's so simple. And you just tailored it to you and how that it works for you. And that can change, you know, in terms of what you would, something good is something good that could change for the body. It could, you know, you can decide to go work out and go for a walk, whatever it may be. I find that the morning routine is getting simpler and simpler and more simpler, because it's the intention behind it and knowing that it's going to benefit you the rest of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does. It is amazing how I've been surprised by how just a few simple kind of steps in the right direction can create momentum that lasts throughout the day. I can tell the difference between when I do those simple things and when I just drag myself, you know, the 20 feet in my New York apartment from my bed to my desk. It's not quite as good.
Yeah, it's almost like the law of attraction is working for you. You know, it's like, this is what I want to attract into my day, more energy with intention. I want to attract the right and the right people, the right conversations. It's amazing, but it's just being intentional for the first 10 minutes upon rising. It's magical.
Totally.
It's been such an honor connecting with you, Jonathan. Tell us, where can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
So you can find us at OarHealth, OARHealth.com. There's a page where anyone who wishes to can schedule 15 minutes to chat with me, kind of like we've been chatting, or about the services that we offer at OarHealth. And you can also follow us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. Would love to connect with any of your listeners.
That is phenomenal. We love quotes and inspirational quotes. So leave us with one of your faves.
One that stuck with me almost my whole life is one that the principal of my high school used to tell us, which is very simple. Do well by doing good. So find a way to take care of yourself, helping others. That's what I hope we're doing at OarHealth. And it's what I try to do each day.
You live it. You're living it. It's what you're doing, helping the many that you do and overcoming this. And so I thank you for what you do. And thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.